Good morning to each one of you, and greetings in Jesus' name. You know, it is a true blessing to be able to worship together with the home folks. And I know, as was mentioned earlier, you know, I think in our Sunday school class, it looks like a slim crowd. Today's attendance, we have 67. We were worshiping last Sunday with one of our sister congregations, and they had 24. And so, what a blessing to be able to gather together with people that love the Lord, that are like-minded, that make it a priority to come to worship together on the Lord's Day. The topic that I'm sharing from today is a topic assigned to me for this fall meetings down in Georgia. And sometimes it's difficult to determine what should we share. And I know that the Lord brings things to mind, and you know, circumstances in life help us to kind of channel our thoughts into certain areas where we feel like there are needs or for a message. But I do want to say to you, we want to be open to your all's suggestions of sermon topics or something that you would be on your heart that you would appreciate someone sharing about. And it wouldn't be just for me, but maybe for our team to think about. The title of the message this morning is "The Good Shepherd Lays Down His Life for the Sheep." And this is in John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, I taught the book of John at Maranatha the other year, and it was a very interesting study because I learned some things about the shepherd and the sheepfold and the porter and some other things that I really had not dug into before. Growing up, my dad always told me, or told us as a family, we would often ask, you know, "Dad, can we get a goat, or can we get some lambs, or can we get this or get that for the farm?" And Dad always told us, as far as a sheep or a lamb, he said, "A lamb or a sheep is an animal that is looking for a way to die." And I never really understood that. But as I've gotten older and have watched, and you know, yeah, we had a sheep the other year, and I'll share about that a little bit later. But in God's Word, there are often analogies with people and sheep. Why are we like that? Why are we looking for a way to die? If you understand what I'm saying. And I want to ask that question because I want you to get your mind thinking. I want you to start processing. You know, we have an opportunity with the Lord Jesus Christ to be victorious in all of life, and yet we're always looking for the hole in the fence, the grass on the other side. We're always looking for something that is attractive, that may not be good for us. It seems like we are looking for a way to die. And I say that carefully, but I also say it meaningfully. Because in this flesh, in this body that we live, we have these things that tempt us to draw us away from an ever-loving, ever-merciful, but ever-just God. I want you to read with me, if you will, John chapter 10. And I'm not going to be reading the whole chapter, basically through verse 18. Starts out here, "Verily, verily," or "truly, truly." It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now we have Memorial Day celebrated in this nation. And on this Memorial Day, it is lifting up those that have given their lives, that have fought for a purpose. And that is for freedom. And those men and women that have given their all, that have given their life for this freedom, are often lifted up. And they're held up on a pedestal. And if you drive down the street on many small towns, you will see these banners and these pictures of these men and women. And it's a picture of their face and a name and their date of death, a date of birth and death, and sometimes where they served or how they died. How many of you have given a lot for someone else? And I know that many of us have, but not many of us have given the ultimate for the life of someone else. As we look back at these verses, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheep fold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. As I was studying this at Maranatha, I didn't really know what a sheepfold was. And so as I dug into this, and as some other people had done some research that had passed it on to me as well, this sheepfold was a rock enclosure mostly. Some were made of some other materials, but mostly it was a rock enclosure. It was basically a large corral, a large gated area, or a large rock-walled area. It was built out of stacked or even mortared rock, basically a round rock pin or even a square or rectangular rock pin. And on this sheepfold, there was typically one gate. And these gates were not built very wide. They were normally 5 to 6 feet. And that was just large enough for the sheep to go in. But it was also small enough that if there were not a physical gate, the shepherd or the porter would lay down in that space at night to keep out thieves and robbers and other wolves and things that may harm their sheep. If there was a gate, the shepherd would close that gate. But this shepherd guarded this flock without a gate in this sheepfold. He would guard that flock of sheep with his very being, with his very life. And we know from stories of David that David snatched a lamb from a lion and a bear, and he killed both of those, and he put his life on the line for something that is wanting to die. And I want you to think about that. In light of your life, in light of your eternal soul, and in light of Jesus Christ, God the Father, and even those around you that have come to know Christ, how much have we given for the sake of someone else, that they may know Christ, or that we can guard someone spiritually by the way that we live and the things that we do, maybe even some of the things that we say or the encouragement that we give? Someone or something had to climb up another way, either go through the shepherd or the porter, or they had to climb up another way. Now, some of these rock walls that were built further away from the towns and cities, they were not very high walls. But some of the ones that were built closer, where there would be multiple flocks of sheep gathered in, they would be built much higher, because the chance of thieves and robbers going in and plucking out a lamb or a sheep would have been greater. But further away from the towns and cities, they would put them in a smaller rock pen. But they had to pay attention to other animals that might prey on those sheep. And they had to be ever vigilant, not only to lay in that gateway, in that door, but they had to be ever watchful and mindful of something that may climb in another way. John 10, verse 2, it says, "But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." The shepherds knew where those gateways were. They knew where those doors were. And it was no surprise to those sheep when he came into that doorway or into that sheepfold. We visited some people up in Pennsylvania a number of years ago, and they had a duck farm. And this man told us, when we wanted to go see his ducks one day, and he said, "We need to announce that we're coming. Because if we don't announce that we're coming, all of these ducks, they will get alarmed and they will go running to the other end of the barn, and they'll pile up and they'll kill each other." And so I was like, "So how do you announce we're coming?" And he said, "I have a signal for my ducks. Whenever I come into the barn, I pound on the wall a certain amount of times, and these ducks have recognized that I am coming." And so when we walked in the barn, I can't remember how many times he banged on the wall, But we walked into that duck pen, duck barn, and those ducks were just normally doing what they were doing. And when they saw him, they knew him. But when they saw me, they didn't know me, and they still went to the other end of the barn. The shepherd knows his sheep. That duck farmer knew his ducks, and the ducks knew him. Verse 3 says, "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them." This porter, from my studies, was one of the shepherds. If there were multiple herds of sheep in this sheepfold where they gathered them in at night when they came into the town or city or wherever they were, when there were multiple herds of sheep, the shepherds would take turns watching that door, that gate. They knew each other. These shepherds knew each other. And they trusted one another to be ever mindful and watchful of their sheep and others' sheep. And it says, "He calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out." We all have names for our pets. When we lived on the dairy farm, we had multiple cows, and this has been quite a few years ago. I'm still trying to remember the name of that one cow. I can't remember it. I asked our children today, and I didn't quite get some of the older ones. Maybe Rachel, you can help me out. Most of those cows were recognized by a number. How many of y'all recognize your dairy cows by a number? By number? Do you have any with names? Do y'all have any with names? Well, we had a few that had names. The one cow that we remember, number 8, she had really long hooves, and we had to work on her constantly. She milked good. That's why we kept her for as long as we did. But there was another crossbreed calf. It was crossbreed between Hereford and Angus. I'm sorry, Holstein and Angus. And its name was Socks, because it had white around each one of its legs. And our children named that crossbreed Socks. Jesus knows us individually, not by a number, not by just what our colors are, but God knows us individually. As we identify others, God knows us individually. Verse 4 says, "And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." And I shared this story before, but I want to share it again, so maybe some of you have not heard it. But a number of years ago, a couple of years ago, we got a lamb for Renee. And she bottle-fed that lamb and fed that lamb and let it out to graze. And this lamb's name was Anna. And Anna knew Renee's voice. And when Renee would go down to bottle feed the lamb, she would always say, "Anna, I'm coming." And Anna would answer that with bleating. And when Renee would open up that gate to that pen, that lamb would come out and go directly to her, because that lamb knew that Renee had something good for her. And that lamb, even after it was fed, even after it was full, that lamb would follow Renee wherever she went when it was out of that pen. If she was in the yard, the lamb was there. If she was on the porch, the lamb was there. And one time they opened the door and Renee went in the house, and we had to keep the lamb from going into the house. because it wanted to be where Renee was. And when Renee would put that lamb back into the pen and walk towards the house, that lamb would bleat and bleat because she knew that she was going to get left alone. Renee was that lamb's good shepherd. And so my question for you is, do you know your good shepherd? Do you know Jesus Christ? And are you following Him? Does He bring a sense of joy and peace? Does He bring a sense of, I want to be with Him? Or does He bring a sense of, I want to get away, a fear and dread? I believe that if we know Him, we will be delighted to be in His presence, to see Him, to be with Him. We will anticipate the time that we can spend with Him because we know He cares and has what is good for us. Verse 5 says, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the strangers. We would lead Anna around sometimes on a leash. And one day I went with Renee to get Anna out of the pen, and we put her on a leash because we were getting company. And partway back from the pen, it was announced that our company had arrived, and Renee was leading Anna with the leash. And she handed it to me and took off running towards the house. While Renee was in the presence of that lamb was docile and simply followed along. But when Renee left the presence of that lamb and took off running away, guess where the lamb wanted to go? The lamb wanted to go where her good shepherd was. And so here I was with this sheep, this lamb, going somewhat berserk because it knew not this shepherd very well. And I had to call for Renee to come back, to calm down this little lamb, because it knew not the voice of a stranger. And it says here in verse 6, this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, truly, truly, or verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. I am the passageway. I am the entrance for you to come in to that safe, secure sheepfold. Jesus is the only way. And Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, all familiar verses, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. And all of us know that there are many religions, quote, religions out there. But there is only one portal. There is only one passage. There is only one door, one opening, one gate, one way to eternal life with God, and that is through Jesus Christ, the true shepherd, the good shepherd. Verse 8, all that ever came to me before are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. There have been many people in the past, and even some currently, that claim to be Jesus Christ, that claim to be the way. But Jesus said, they are thieves and robbers. And if you know my voice, you won't listen to those that claim to be what I am or who I am, but you will hear the truth of my word. And we know in John 1:1, it says, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ is right here in our very midst, not only in writing, but in spirit and in truth. There are many voices that are taking this Word and trying to make it fit their lifestyle instead of making their lifestyle fit according to the Word of God. And all around us, in the world that we live, in the society, in the communities that we live, we're seeing the effects of false teaching. We are seeing the effects of trying to make this fit into our lifestyles. And many people are still asking that same age-old question that the serpent asked Eve. Hath God said, does it really mean what it says? If we are truly seeking to follow the will of God, if we are truly seeking to open our lives to the Holy Spirit, it will lead us in the truth of this Word. And I've had some of my students at school say to me, well, these people do this, and these people do this, and these people do this, and it's all confusing. To me, it's not confusing. Because if it lines up with the truth of God's Word, tried and true, we know that to be something that is tried and true. That is the way. Jesus is the way. But if it doesn't quite fit with what God's Word says, I wonder, is it that age-old question? Hath God said? For me, I'd rather be safe than sorry. If we're truly seeking to follow the will of God, the Holy Spirit's going to guide us in truth, not an interpretation of the truth, but the truth of God's Word. Verse 9 says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. To me, that is a picture of security and peace, even out in the pasture. I am the door. If by me any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. And I have said many times before, we are a Christian community, Christian families, Christian churches, to build one another up in faith, that we can be sent forth into the world to proclaim the gospel to those around us, not to be fenced in so that we can guard every heart, every thought, every mind, but that we can build one another up in faith and then go in and out and still have this as a vital part of our diet, our lifestyle. I am the door. If any man will be saved, shall go in and out and find pasture. Ephesians says, even when we were dead in sins, hath God quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is not the things that we do, but it's by grace and through faith, and then living a life of obedience, going in and out, and finding that pasture, finding that nutrition, finding that needed healing word, nutritious word for our soul. John 10:10 says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and kill and destroy, I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. You know, we hear about life and prosperity and all that kind of stuff. But you know, when we live according to the principles of God's Word, we have something that the world does not. When we live according to the principles of God's Word, we have joy. And studies have shown that people that have faith or attend church tend to live a happier, longer life. Well, God's Word teaches us that. When we are careful how we live, when we strive to live holy lives, it protects us, our physical bodies, from some of the things that will tear our bodies down. We see that. When we encourage others and are encouraged, it helps us in our joy, in our life. When we operate our businesses with integrity or our work with integrity, we have something that the world does not. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And I know that it's talking about life ever after, the hereafter, eternity. But we can, as Christian people, enjoy the life that God has given us here to a certain extent because we live according to His principles. And then we gain things because of that. We have a settled peace about us in our lives. 2 Peter 1, verse 3. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, and it helps us to live according to that. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. John 15, verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Again, I refer back to that Memorial Day, memorials up on those poles of men and women that have given their life for their country. But there have been millions of men and women that have given their life for the sake of Christ. Look at the martyr's mirror. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Jesus was our ultimate example. He gave His life that all might be saved. And we know those all too familiar verses, John 3, 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Verse 12 talks about the hireling. 12 and 13. But he that is an hireling, and not of the shepherd, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. He's doing his job until it threatens him as a being. And then we see no commitment, no ownership, no responsibility. And that man runs away because he is just a hireling. Are you a shepherd? Are you a part of that family of God? Would you give something for the good of someone else, or would you flee when the time comes that you may spare your own life? Verse 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, Even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. In John 10, verse 30, Jesus stated a very simple statement, and he said this, I and my Father are one. I and my Father are one. Now you know your parents. You know your siblings. And I know that we cannot become one with them. But we know each other well. But Jesus is saying here, I and my Father are one. If you know Him, you will know me. Verse 16, it says, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And we know that Jesus was speaking here to the Jews initially. And he was telling them that this other fold would be those that would be grafted in, those that would be added to this sheepfold. Those were that were not of that chosen children of Israel. The Gentiles would be able to believe and be saved as well. And then verse 17 and 18, it says, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Jesus, our perfect example, came from the glories of heaven to this sin-cursed earth. He lived a life of servanthood, and then He gave His life a ransom for many. And He said, I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. And with this power, we see the resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. But in that resurrection power, we see the power that each one of us has an opportunity to partake of, to live a godly life, to be a part of that sheepfold, and even then to participate in sharing and protecting others for the glory of God. May we lay down our lives for the good of the kingdom, for the good of others. Lord bless you.